Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Thursday, October 31st edition, the Halloween edition of the MAOB Daily Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Martin, and I'll be taking you guys through the latest in the world of mixed martial arts. We've got a couple of things to talk about here, but yeah, it's nuts that we've made it to the end of October already, guys, and 2 days away from UFC 244, so that's the good thing, but Christmas coming up pretty soon, and it's crazy how fast the months have gone by this year. I've actually been doing this podcast for 6 months now, which is insane to me, because I used to do the odds and ends and translated into this podcast, and it's gone by quick, and I've enjoyed doing it. So let's get right into today's show. Don't want to waste any more time. Let's start with the news here. Dana White spoke to TMZ yesterday, and he confirmed that the promotion is looking at Conor McGregor versus Donald Cerrone to headline UFC 246 January 18th in Las Vegas. So we had been hearing about that for quite a little while now from Donald Cerrone. Conor McGregor had mentioned, I think, Donald Cerrone's name, but he didn't say specifically that would be the fight for him. Now Dana White is giving confirmation that's what the UFC is trying to book. He also cautioned that the fight is not signed yet. They do want the fight to happen, but it's not official by any means. So it looks like it's going to happen, but it's not signed to paper yet. But yes, Conor McGregor versus Donald Cerrone, it makes a lot of sense. I've talked about this fight a little bit on the podcast. Again, not official yet, but it just makes so much sense. Conor needs a fight that's winnable. Cerrone's coming off two straight losses by TKO. Conor McGregor hasn't fought in a while. Cerrone obviously is a very active fighter, but he's also a guy who's taken a ton of damage because he's been so active. So I think if you're Conor, why would you fight Justin Gaethje? Why would you fight a guy coming off three straight knockout wins? But you can fight a guy coming off two straight TKO losses in Donald Cerrone. So yes, this looks like it's going to happen at UFC 246, McGregor versus Cerrone. Not official again, but Dana White confirmed the UFC is trying to make this happen. Also, I got to give Dana White some credit. He's contributed some money to help find the daughter of Walt Harris. So Walt Harris's daughter is missing still. It's very unfortunate for him and his family. But Dana White stepped up, and he's offering a $25,000 reward. So obviously for Dana, that's pocket change for Dana White. Let's be honest here. But it's still nice for him to give that olive leaf and extend that olive branch. So really nice of Dana White to give some money out for the finding, or even just tips finding Walt Harris's daughter. I hope they do find her. I gotta give Dana props, because I give him flack on this podcast quite a bit, and I gotta give him some props for doing that. That's pretty nice of him. Speaking of UFC 244, Darren Till is apparently late to fight week due to some visa issues, which is obviously extremely unfortunate. We all want to see Darren Till fight Kelvin Gastelum. He's supposed to be arriving in New York today, so that should be happening. And he should be still in line to fight Gastelum, but obviously by flying in late, he could have some weight-cutting issues. He is moving up to middleweight. If this fight was a welterweight, there's no way in hell I would think that he'd make the 170-pound limit. Moving up to middleweight, getting that 15 pounds cushion, it should help him out to make the middleweight weight class, but we'll see. And the UFC has actually brought in Jared Cannonier on standby for UFC 244, just in case something happens to Darren Till. However, Kelvin Gastelum says that he will not fight Jared Cannonier. He's not interested in fighting Jared on 2 days' notice. He gave Jared props, saying he's a hell of a fighter, a scary guy, and doesn't want to fight him on 2 days' notice. I don't think you can blame Kelvin Gastelum. It's really unfortunate if this does happen, if Till does, for whatever reason, not, you know, is unable to make weight, or he can't get in the country. I think he's already there now, but if he can't make weight and the fight is scrapped, or he comes in heavy or something, and Kelvin Gastelum turns down a fight with Jared Cannonier, who's the short-notice opponent that the UFC brought in as a backup, people are going to give Kelvin Gastelum flack and say he's a wimp and say he's soft and say he's not like McGregor, who took the fight with Diaz on a few days' notice, and not like these guys like Dillashaw, who fought Joe Soto on a day's notice. Like, there's a lot of guys that have taken short-notice fights, but I can't blame Kelvin. He's in a spot right now where he really does need to get a win. If he goes in there and fights Cannonier, gets knocked out, it hurts his stock a lot. So I can't blame him at all. He said he'll fight Jared Cannonier. He just wants more of a training camp than 2 days to fight a different opponent than Darren Till. And I cannot blame him at all. So I really hope this doesn't happen. I hope we see the Till-Gastelum fight. I want to see that fight. And I'm going to be pretty upset if fans start giving Kelvin Gastelum flack, calling him like a wimp and stuff, if he doesn't fight Cannonier. If that comes to shove, hopefully that doesn't happen. Hopefully it's just the Till versus Gastelum fight. But I can already see fans going after Gastelum, saying that he's soft because he doesn't want to fight Cannonier on 2 days' notice, even though Gastelum has proven time and time again he'll fight anyone. And it's time and time again proved that he's one of the toughest guys in the UFC, coming off an incredible fight with Israel Adesanya, arguably the fight of the year for 2019. And speaking of Israel Adesanya, his last opponent, Robert Whittaker, apparently canceled like a speaking tour, and he could apparently announce a new fight coming up. So we'll see there what happens there. There's some speculation that he could be in line to fight Israel Adesanya rematch. I don't see that happening. I really don't. I think he'll probably get someone else to fight instead. Maybe Cannonier, if that could possibly happen, if Cannonier doesn't fight. I just don't know if he'll get that rematch with Adesanya. I mean, listen, like, if Adesanya doesn't fight Costa, obviously he'll need an opponent. But I just feel like Whitaker, he got dominated in that fight, let's be honest here. So to me, that doesn't make too much sense, but it is an option. And I guess I wouldn't be shocked if that's what happened. But yeah, it looks like Robert Whitaker has a fight lined up, and we'll probably hear about that very soon. The UFC's 2019 calendar is pretty much done for the year, but 2020 is coming up very soon. And the fight's already filling out. We already know about UFC 246. There's been fights getting issued for January cards, just TBD cards. And I'm sure we're going to hear about them very soon. I think there's a press conference tomorrow on Friday, if I'm not mistaken, in New York, where they'll give some heads up to what the first quarter schedule looks like in 2020. So we'll have to wait and see what happens there. But yeah, it looks like Whitaker is probably going to have a fight now soon. I mean, it could possibly be in the New Zealand card that's scheduled, I think, for January or February. That's the rumored card with Dan Hooker. He wants to fight, I think, Poirier and some other guys. Poirier's not going to happen because he's hurt right now. But I expect Whitaker probably be in that card with Dan Hooker. PFL takes place tonight. All fighters have made weight in the heavyweight and light heavyweight divisions. You'd hope the heavyweights make weight, but yeah, the light heavyweights have also made weight, and the odds have dropped. Thankfully, this morning they dropped at 9 a.m. sharp and 10 a.m. sharp, depending on where you are. So some interesting odds for sure. I have previewed this card. I previewed it on Tuesday with Cole Shelton during our UFC 244 preview podcast. Go back and check that out, by the way. We previewed UFC 244 in its entirety. I can't wait for that card. But PFL 2019 playoffs, it's week 9 for PFL. The odds are fully up now. I'll just talk about them quickly here. I mean, I have already previewed the card, but we didn't have odds when we did it. So to be fair, my thoughts do change a little bit. So let's go through them. Dennis Gulds, I'll do heavyweights and then go down to the light heavyweights. So heavyweights, Dennis Goltsov against Satoshi Ishii. Goltsov opened -350, Ishii opened +250. No surprise here, Goltsov should be a favorite here. The guy's got a lot of experience, a lot of wins. Ishii's kind of like a up and down fighter, I think. Didn't look too good in his last fight either. So you got to go with Goltsov here. The odds obviously are high, but he should win this fight, probably by stoppage, to be completely honest. Alex Nicholson versus Francis Barroso, another heavyweight fight. Barroso -125, Nicholson -115. We both lean towards Barroso on the podcast. I still do. I think it is a decently competitive fight, but I do think Barroso probably does get his hand raised in this one. The odds are a little bit closer than I thought, to be honest, but they are giving Alex Nicholson some respect for his knockout power. But I do believe Francis Barroso probably wins that fight. Also, in the heavyweight division, we got Ali Asayev against Calvin Tiller. Asayev opened -460. Calvin Tiller opened +320. Once again, we both favored Asayev. The odds are pretty high for this one, I think, though. -460, that's pretty high. I don't think I want to touch that one. I think Tiller's a little bit better than people give him credit for. He actually is pretty well-rounded for heavyweight, but he probably does get out-wrestled here and loses his decision. But, you know, I wouldn't be surprised either way. And the other heavyweight bout is Jared Roschal against Mohamed Darice. Darice opened -290. Roschal +210. This is one I actually think their underdog has a good chance to win. I know Darice is a very dangerous guy, obviously has knockout power. But Roschal, for all his faults, and listen, he's not a great fighter by any means. We saw him in the UFC. He's very limited fighter. His striking's not very good. His chin's not very good. He's still got that wrestling background. And at +210, if you're going to look at a dog on this card, especially in the heavyweight division, I think maybe there's a chance you could go with Roschal and you could get the win here. So that'd be my dog pick of the four heavyweight fights. I would go with Roschal at +210. He might lose. He might get finished in the first round. I wouldn't be surprised. But I think at +210 for him to wrestle Darice, I think there's a good chance of that and better chance than the odds makers are giving him credit for. In the light heavyweight division, we have Rashid Yusupov against Benny Magalhaes. Yusupov opened -190, Magalhaes opened +150. And this was one where I honestly wasn't sure the odds makers would go. Magalhaes opens a dog here. You know, he's got a lot of experience, obviously, in PFL and the UFC, a big name. But Yusupov, very, very dangerous guy. I actually lean towards Yusupov a little bit here. I hate saying that because I'm a big fan of Vinny as a person. He's a friend of mine. But at the same time, you know, we saw it happen to him against Sean O'Connor last year, and I wouldn't be surprised if he did lose. At the same time, though, I think the odds are a little bit wider. I thought it'd be closer to a pick 'em, to be honest with you. So I think maybe there is some value possibly on Vinny at +150, but I still feel like Yusupov should get the upper hand in this fight and deserves to be slightly favored. Also, at light heavyweight, we have Emiliano Sordi against Siga Pasalelli. This one's obviously a very The odds are wide in this one for sure. It's already open at -565, Pesolili +375. Not surprised by that. Honestly, it's already being steamed up. He's at -600 now, Sorti. So I think by the end of the day, he could be like -700, -800. This should be a very easy fight for him, in my opinion. It's the number one versus eight seed. Sorti should win by first round knockout. Also, in light heavyweight division, we have Jordan Johnson against Maxim Grishin. Close odds on this one. Grishin -125. Johnson -115. I do favor Grishin here. Johnson just really has been disappointing since leaving the UFC. I thought this guy was a very good prospect at one point in the UFC, but he's been disappointing in PFL. I like Grishin in this fight, favoring to get the win. And finally, in the light heavyweight division, we have Viktor Nemkov against Bozygit Ateyev. Nemkov opened at -195, Ateyev +155. I like Viktor Nemkov in this fight. I believe he wins. So if you're looking at dogs, like I said, I think Rochalt and I guess Magalhaes. But of all the dogs, I think I like Rochalt the most. But let's be honest here. PFL has a lot of upsets. There's a lot of fights we don't see coming. I believe these are two-round fights. Then we'll have the three-round fight later on in the night. So these heavyweights have to fight twice, which could make for some very sloppy fights. But hey, it is what it is. I like PFL. You know, I'm hopefully going to be able to tune into this one. It is Halloween today, obviously, but I'll tape it and I'll watch it later, hopefully. It's on, I think, TSN. No baseball tonight. No other sports really to watch. So I think I'll try to watching PFL. All right, a couple of fight announcements here. This is a banger of fight. UFC 245, Mike Perry versus Jeff Neal. It's official. It's been rumored for a little while now. Now it's official. Both guys have been talking about this on social media for quite a little while. Mike Perry and Jeff Neal, they both wanted to fight Robbie Lawler. I don't know what's going on with Robbie Lawler. I feel like he might be pulled from that card now at this point. I don't know if they can find an opponent because it feels like everyone that called him out is not getting the fight unless they go and give him to Nico Price, who also needs a fight. But Price says he doesn't want to fight in December. So we'll see what happens there. But Mike Perry versus Jeff Neal is official. I love this matchup. Great fight. UFC 245, such a stacked card. Mike Perry coming off a split decision loss to Vicente Luque at UFC Uruguay. Very, very good fight. One of the best fights of the year. Got his nose smashed in, got caved in there in that fight, but somehow is coming back just a few months later to fight. So the guy is just tough as nails. He struggled a little bit later, though. He did have the win over Alex Oliveira by unanimous decision, but before that, he lost to Cerrone by armbar, beat Felder in a split, close fight, and then lost to Max Griffin and Santiago Ponzinibbio before that. He really has been up and down in the UFC, only a 6-5 record, but you know, Mike Perry's a guy that I think a lot of people have respect for, and they gain respect for him over the course of his couple years in the UFC. Just the guy's tough as nails, and he's always wanting to scrap. He doesn't turn down fights. He always wants to fight, so got a lot of respect for Mike Perry, and he takes on Jeff Neal here. Jeff Neal's like one of the hottest fighters in the division right now. He's on a 6-fight win streak, 4-0 in the UFC, submitted Brian Kamosi, beat Frank Amoco by head kick, which was an incredible knockout, beat Bilal Muhammad, which is a really good win in hindsight, and knocked out Nico Price at UFC 240 in July. So he's looked amazing. I think Jeff Neal is a really, really good fighter. It's funny because we posted the article on BJ Penn's Facebook page, and one of the guys was like, "Oh, it's Mike Perry versus some nobody." And people quickly corrected him, saying, "Jeff Neal's some nobody. You're insane. Jeff Neal's a dangerous man." And I agree. I think Jeff Neal wins this fight. I like Jeff Neal in this matchup. This guy's money, man. He just wins his fights. He's lost twice in his career. Kevin Holland fight, that guy's bigger than him. And then Martin Sandoval, I'm not too familiar with him, but that was a long time ago, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, actually. I think Jeff Neal's a better fighter, not a different fighter. I'm not 100% sure if he still has a job as a server. I know he was working full-time and training part-time. I feel like at this point he probably is training full-time. I hope so. So I feel like Jeff Neal, he's just scratching the surface of his potential. I think this guy's going to be a very good fighter in the UFC for a very, very long time. And I do favor him to beat Mike Perry. Sucks for Mike Perry. They might get another loss. It could hurt his stock a little bit, but the guy's always in good fights, win or lose. So Dana White loves him, and they'll keep him around for a while, win or lose. The other fight announcement is Dong Young Ma. That's the other Dong Young Kim. He takes on Omar Morales at UFC Busan. So that's the South Korea fight. So let me pull these guys out. Maestro Dong Young Kim. Dong Young Ma, I should say. I guess he's changed his name now. 31 years old. He is 16-10-3 in his career. He struggled in UFC. He's 3-4. He's been knocked out 4 times. He does have 3 wins, but he hasn't won a fight in a while since that win over Damian Brown. His other wins in the UFC over Takanori Gomi and Brendan O'Reilly. Those guys are not in the UFC anymore. He's coming off a knockout loss to Scott Holtzman. Always in great fights, though. Man, I really enjoy watching Dong Young Maestro Kim watch him fight. The guy's very dangerous. He takes on this guy Omar Antonio Morales Ferrer. Not too familiar with him. He did have a fight on the Contender Series. He knocked out Harvey Park. I think that was an upset at the time. Actually has some experience fighting for Bellator as well. He's actually been fighting as a pro since 2011. So he has 8 years of fighting and only 8 fights. He trains at Hard Knocks. Again, I'm not too familiar with him. I do remember his fight a little bit. I'll have to go back and watch that one again. But, you know, it does scare me when a guy only fights once a year. But at the same time, that also makes me think that, hey, this is a guy that maybe people don't want to fight, and that's why he's only fighting once a year. If you look at his record, he has 8 wins, and seven of them are by stoppage. So, unfortunately for Ma, this guy probably knocks him out. He is 34. He's a little bit older, but he's got finishing power, as we saw. And unfortunately for Ma, his chin isn't too great. So I do feel like this could be a bad fight for Ma, although at the same time, he is fighting in Busan, so that could help him out a little bit. I should mention there's a few more odds that have dropped for upcoming fights. The Brian Ortega and Chan Sung Jung fight, there's odds for that one. They open as a pick'em. Obviously a close fight. I haven't even thought about who I'm going to pick in that one yet. I don't want to give a pick right now. Jan Błachowicz versus Ronaldo Souza. Błachowicz open minus 185. Souza open plus 145. That one to me is a little bit interesting, to be honest with you. I think that Souza maybe is not getting as much credit as he deserves, just because he's moving up the weight class, but he's obviously a very, very dangerous guy. And I think I've mentioned this, but Alberto Del Rio versus Tito Ortiz, there are odds for that. I think Nick opened these ones. Tito Ortiz opened minus 750, and Del Rio opened plus 450. He's named Alberto Rodriguez, according to the best fight odds. So, yeah, that fight should be pretty good in Kibachi. I mean, it's a big fight for them, obviously, and Tito Ortiz is a big name still. All right, so I think that's it for today's show, guys. I appreciate you tuning in as always. I'll be back tomorrow for the November 1st edition of the show. But for today, that's it. You guys can check me out on Twitter at MMAdamMartin. This podcast is available, as always, at MMAOddsBreaker.com. And you can go to our YouTube channel, like, share, subscribe, tell your friends about it. Also, check us out on iTunes. Type in MMA OB Daily Podcast with Adam Martin. You'll find it on iTunes. I appreciate if you left a review. Thank you so much for the people that did. I really appreciate those reviews, guys. Anything helps. We're trying to grow the show. So it's, you know, it's growing slowly but surely. Obviously, you know, me and James had a really good thing going with the parting shot. But we've both had to kind of rebuild ourselves since, you know, we've kind of parted ways, I guess. I mean, me and James are still great friends, but he's doing his thing with The Score. I'm doing my thing with BJ Penn and MMA Oddsbreaker. So we had to rebuild our own podcast, but so far so good. Again, you can check us on iTunes, Spotify, Anchor, SoundCloud. This podcast is available at quite a few places. I'm working on Stitcher. Hopefully that comes pretty soon. I'm not sure how many people use that compared to iTunes, but that should come up very soon. BJPen.com, like I mentioned, I got a bunch of articles on there, so go and check that out. And MMARings.net, I actually just sent an article in last night on Darren Till and what I expect from him in his middleweight debut. So hopefully that gets posted today. PFL opening odds reactions will be posted today, and my main event preview for Diaz versus Masvidal will be posted today. The podcast was on Tuesday with Cole Sheldon, breaking down the entire card, giving our picks for each and every one of the 12 fights. All right, guys, that's it for today's edition of the MMAOB Daily Podcast. Happy Halloween, happy trick-or-treating, and I'll see you guys tomorrow. Have a good one. Bye.